All right, how many is ready to change your sound? Are you ready to change your sound? All three of you. Anybody else want to change your sound today? We're doing the second part of a series we started last week called Change Your Sound. If you missed it, please go onto the website, mydestinychurch.com. Put that into your spiritual bank. Listen to it this week. I promise you, it's one of the most powerful messages you will hear. It really talks a lot about why it's important to change our sound. Today we're talking about what is my sound with a question mark. What is my sound? What's my sound? What are the sounds that are coming out of our mouth and are coming into my ears? What are the sounds that are coming out of my mouth and are coming into my ears? Sound affects every part of our emotions, of our mind, our heart. That's the way God wired us. God wired us. God, in our DNA, we are moved by sound. Sound affects our emotions. It affects our attitude. It affects my spirit. Sound affects so much in my life. And today, we got to stop waiting for God to move, and we got to move with the sound of God. Come on now, say amen. We got to move because God's already moving. God, I'm waiting on you to move. God, please move. God, we're waiting on you to move. No, God's already moving. We just got to get aligned up with his movement. We got to get aligned with God, what God's already doing, and say, God, I want to move. I am not waiting on God to move. God is waiting on me. See, all the power you need is already there. All the grace you already need is already there. All the mercy you already need is already there. All of the Holy Spirit you need is already there. You're just going to line up with it, begin to flow with it, and say, God, your Holy Spirit's moving. I want to move with that. I want to get in alignment with that. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. I want to move with the Holy Spirit in my life. See, we have to position. Remember last week we talked about this. We have to position ourselves to receive. It's important. I'm not going to catch the ball if I'm not positioning myself. The quarterback won't throw me the pass if I don't position myself to receive. So many of us say, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on, no, God's waiting on us. God's waiting on us to position ourselves. God, I am ready to receive more from you. God, I am ready to hear more from you. God, I am ready to walk deeper in understanding. God, I'm ready to walk deeper in your anointing. God, I'm ready to walk deeper in your Holy Spirit. See, God's waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God has already poured out his Spirit with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And he moved with sound. God moves with sound. He comes. So we got to position ourselves to receive it. We got to be ready, anticipate that it's coming. The more I listen and apply, the more the Holy Spirit will speak and lead me. Listen, God's not going to give me a 10-step plan for my life if I can't do the first step. Are you listening to me? God's not going to reveal a 10-step plan for my life if I won't even do the first two steps. God, I'm waiting for you to show me. God, I'm waiting for you to reveal this awesome plan for my life. No, God's already given us the first two steps. Come on. Jesus has already given us the first two steps. Look at this. He's already given us the first two steps. He told you. Remember, I want you to love God and love people. That's where we start. That's where it's at. Remember, everybody else had all these other steps. They were trying to cram down people's throats. And Jesus said, no, how about I just make it right here. Let me focus. Come on, focus. Jesus is like, focus, people. Look, just love God and love people. Love your neighbors yourself. Remember that? Just love them. Learn to love God with everything you have, all your mind, all your heart, all your spirit, man, everything within you, all your power. Just learn to love God. And then learn to love your neighbor. And some of us are like, all right, Jesus, I know you're Lord of my life, and now I'm ready to skip to step 10. What is it? I want to flow with deeper understanding. I want to flow with deeper anointing in my life. I want to flow with revelation. I want to know where God's sending me. I know what I want to know. We want to know all these things, and we ignore the first two steps. You see, the more I become obedient, the more I become obedient in the small things, the more God opens my ears to hear the big things. See? Obedience is in the little things opens my ears to hear the bigger things. Let's say it again. This is good. Obedience in the little things opens my ears to hear the bigger things. the more God can trust me with taking those steps of obedience in the small things. You know, God says, hey, I want you to be, don't worry about going around the world. Can you be nice to that coworker in the lunchroom tomorrow? Don't be worried about going and saving some orphanage in Mexico when you can't even go to your school tomorrow and show some kindness to somebody everybody else is picking on. I mean, he's asking us the question, can we be trusted in the little things? Can we be trusted in the little things? And the more I do that, the more I begin to tune in to his voice and take the steps in the little things, the more he'll reveal to me. Look at Matthew 18, 19. Look what Jesus said. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. He's not waiting on us. I mean, we're not waiting on him. He's already declared it. He's already declared it. It's going to happen. You just got to learn to agree. He's waiting on us to get up and agree. God, I agree with what the Word of God says about my life. I agree with somebody else that, God, you're bigger than my mountain. God, I agree with somebody else that my marriage is going to be healed. God, I agree with somebody else, Lord, that my healing's coming. My children are coming home. I got to begin to agree with that. God's already moved. I got to come into agreement with what he's already spoken. See, he's waiting on us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 backs us back up again. He goes, if we'll do this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they'll pray, they'll seek my face, will turn from our wicked ways, then God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God, we want you to send revival. God, we want you to do something. God's like, I just want you to humble yourself and pray. See, God's already moving. We got to begin to move with what he's saying. I got to begin to humble. My part is to humble, to pray, to seek. Let's go back to our text from last week, Mark 2:22. Jesus said, no one puts new wine into the old wineskins. The new wine, well, what happened? For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. No, he goes, the new wine calls for new wineskins. And we know that Jesus was painting the picture here for us to understand that in order for something new to come to our life, we got to change. Jesus was saying this, that we got to prepare. We got to be new. We can't ask God to come and do something new in my life if I'm not willing to change. A new of God won't fit into our old attitude. The new of God won't fit into our old routine. The new of God won't fit until we change some things in our life. Something has to change. Look at this statement. Something has to change if you want something to change. Something has to change if you want something to change. I can't sit around without any change in my life and say, God, bring change. God, bring change. No, I position myself by saying, all right, I'm going to begin to change my attitude. I'm going to begin to change my sound. I'm going to change what I'm allowing to come into my ears and my spirit. I'm going to begin to change what I'm allowing to come out of my mouth. I'm going to begin to change some things. I need to humble myself. I need to spend some time in prayer in my life. I need to learn to seek God's face in my life. Something's got to change if I want something to change. It's got to change. See, it's like this. Don't ask God to heal my body if I won't take care of the one he's given me now. Come on now, I need to hide behind this pulpit, I think. All right, here we go. I know that's a tough word. Don't ask God to heal my body if I won't take care of the one that he's given me, okay? I got to do everything. Now, I can't heal it on my own. Sometimes we need God to heal it. But I got to steward the best of my ability, what he's given me. It's like this. I don't ask God, God, heal my finances. God, change my finances if I won't steward the finances he's given me now. I got to steward what he's given me now. And then I begin to come into agreement. God, your word says if I would put you first in my finances, that you would multiply it. God, you would take care of me. God, you would bless it. And so I got to steward the small I have now. And so many of us, we say, no, if I ever get blessed, then I'll give to the Lord. Then I'll trust God. No, I don't wait until I'm blessed. I realize I've already been blessed. And what God has given me now, small, medium, or large, doesn't make a difference. I'm accountable for what I steward now. And as I steward that, then I come into agreement with his word that says, when I give to the Lord, it comes back to me, blessed down, shaking together, and running over in my life. I can walk in his blessing. See, I can't pray, God bless me, until I begin to put into action. Come on now, something's got to change. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's got to change. Something's got to change if you want something to change. I can't just continue to do the same old, same old. People should look at you and say, that has to be God. People should look at you and say, there is no way that person changed that much by themselves. People should look at you and say, how did their marriage change? How did their life change? How did their finances change? How did their health change? How did their attitude change? What was that? God, it was not me. I'm not that good. I should look at you and say, man, I knew that person in high school. Woo, it was a big difference. I knew that person in college. Wow. Yeah. For some of you here, we can go back a little recent, right? More recent, okay? I knew that person at the last job I was at. No, no, no. That has to be God. That has to be God moving in their life. Why? Because when something changes, something changes. And when your heart changes, when your mind changes, when your spirit changes, God brings drastic change to your life. Why? So we can be a testimony to other people. God wants us to change, and he wants to start by changing the sounds that are coming in and the sounds that are leaving our mouth. God wants to pour out a fresh sound to your life. A new sound can lead you, and a new sound can come from you. A new sound can lead you. What is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I hear the sound of your voice. I see, hear the sound of your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear. We can back this up with scripture after scripture after scripture, that his Holy Spirit will lead us, will speak to us, will guide us for those who have ears to hear and want to hear. His sound will come. And sometimes you've heard the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you just got to say, God, I need a fresh voice. I haven't heard the Holy Spirit the way I need to in a while. Something needs to change. I need to hear it more clearly. I need to hear it. And a new sound can come from you. A new praise can come out of you. A new praise can come out of you saying, no matter how difficult my situation, no matter how much pain I'm in right now, there's a song of praise that's going to come out of me. There's a song of worship that's going to come out of me. I can't be quiet. I'm going to praise through my storm. I'm going to praise through this. God is wanting that to come out of me. That's changing my sound. It's changing my sound. God wants a fresh sound to come from Destiny Church. Do you believe that today? God wants a fresh sound of praise and worship to come to Destiny Church. A sound of healing. A sound of forgiveness. A sound of grace and mercy. A sound of thanksgiving. A sound of his mighty power. A sound of his love. God wants to bring a fresh voice of praise. God wants to bring a fresh voice of worship. God wants the sound of heaven to come to Destiny Church and all of his people. God wants all the churches to be filled with a fresh voice of praise. Why? Because God follows that. We see this in scripture time and time again. We're going to spend more time on this over the next few weeks talking about the sound of praise and the sound of worship. But the problem is this. Let's be honest, okay? The problem that we have is too many churches build their churches to please people and not please God. Are you still with me today? Now, I'm not talking about not being relevant. Jesus was one of the most relevant teachers we've ever seen. Jesus was so relevant, he blew away those Pharisees, man. They were all like, what in the world is this guy doing? He was shaking the whole thing up. Jesus was so relevant to his day. He taught in ways that people had never heard before, with power, with understanding, with illustration. He drawled in the dirt. He pointed at a tree. I mean, he was always doing something creative. So Jesus was very, very relevant. I'm not talking about building a relevant church. What I'm saying is this, is that we are doing a church here, Destiny Church. You've heard me share with you that we're keeping the open chair in mind. We want everybody who comes in to realize that Jesus loves them and has a plan for their life. Jesus loves them and has a purpose for their life. So from the time they leave their car to the time they walk in the front door to the whole worship experience until they leave, we want them to sense God's presence in their life. We want them to sense that God loves them in their life and do it in a way that they can understand and their heart can reach out to. We believe in that. We don't back down from that. That's who we are. But at the same time, it all means nothing if we don't get the first thing, the first thing. If we don't get the main thing is this. Our house shall be a house of prayer. This house should be a house of worship. This house should be a house of praise. If His presence isn't here, why are we here? If we're not saying, God, Your presence is what we seek more than anything else. God, we want You to be lifted above anything else. See, we got to realize this, that praise and worship is always followed by the presence of God. Praise and worship is always followed by the presence of God. Look throughout Scripture. We see this time and time and time again when God would instruct the prophets, instruct the kings, hey, go out, send the praisers first, send out the worshipers first, send out the instrumentalists first, send them out, begin to play, begin to play, begin to play. When the presence of God showed up, it was always, almost always, always was following praise and worship. From cover to cover, you see this principle. That's why when we come together, we say, God, we're going to spend time in praise and worship. We're going to put a little more focus on praise and worship. Why? Because we realize this, that we're nothing without the presence of God. We're nothing if we're just meeting and there's no presence of God that is changing people's lives, that is healing people's lives, that is impacting people's lives. We are nothing without the presence of God, and we want the presence of God first and foremost. Do you believe that? Say amen. Come on, give God a hand clap for His presence. God, I want Your presence in my life. We need that, and we position ourselves for that. We can't let anything stop our praise and our worship. Oh, you hear me? Don't let anything come between you and your song of praise. Don't let anything come between you and your heart for worship. Why? Because you need the presence of God every day in your life. You have His Holy Spirit. His presence is with you, but you can increase that through praise and worship. And when we come together, if I'm bringing the Holy Spirit with me, you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you, and this section is bringing it, 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 and we come together, it increases the passion, it increases the presence, it increases the anointing. And people walk in, they go, I don't know everything that's going on here. I'm new to all this, but I can tell you this. I feel something and my heart is changing. I feel something in my spirit and I realize I'm missing something. I need something more of God in my life. We got to have God's presence. I love this story. Let's look at the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, we know Jacob and Esau were the twin sons of Isaac. Remember, Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah, had the promise, and Isaac has twin boys named Jacob and Esau. Bible says they were twins. Esau was born first. Jacob was born second out of the twins, and he says this, that because of that, Esau, the oldest, would have been granted the father's birthright blessing. He had the blessing coming to him, that before the father died, he would lay hands on his son. He would pass on the spiritual blessing from the father. All right, so fast forward now. These guys are teenagers, young men, and you see the story. The Bible says that Esau was kind of a dad's guy, you know. He was really a manly man. He liked to hunt. He liked to be out in the fields. He was kind of burly, you know. He was kind of real macho man. And it says Jacob was kind of a, you know, his mom was a helicopter mom. So he was kind of a mama's boy. Both had their places, you know, and so we see this happening one day. Jacob is there cooking, because he was skilled at cooking. He's cooking. His brother been out hunting all day, comes back. Can you imagine the story right here? Two brothers there in the house. One's cooking this great meal. The other brother's been out hunting all day, comes in. He's like, I'm starving. I'm starving. If I don't, this is what he said. If I don't eat, I'm going to die. Okay. I know he's not the brightest, but just because you didn't eat any breakfast and lunch today doesn't mean you're going to die, okay? It's going to take more than missing two meals before you die and perish. But it kind of reminds us of our teenagers. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God, there's nothing to eat in this house. I'm going to die if I don't get some McDonald's. I'm going to die if I don't get something. Ah, Mom, this is kind of the same thing happening here. So Esau is crying because he's so hungry. And his brother Jacob says, all right, bro, I'll feed you. I got some great food here. But If I give it to you, will you give me your blessing? What? Dude. No. Seriously, I want the blessing for Dad. Will you give it to me? He says he was so hungry. He's like, yeah, whatever, bro. Whatever. You know, can you imagine this conversation between two brothers? Whatever, you can have it. Just give me the food. I'm going to die. So they have this exchange, and then time goes by later, and the father's getting sick. Isaac's getting close to dying. And it says that Esau's out in the field hunting, and he leaves, and Jacob prepares a meal for his father. And then he kind of decides, this is the time for me to trick my dad. His dad's eyesight has left him. So he puts some wool on his arms to make him seem like had hairy arms like his brother. And he went to his dad. Said, Dad, you know, give me your blessing. And his dad lays hands on him and gives him the blessing. And then Esau returns home, finds out that his brother Jacob has stole his blessing and tricked his dad. He's like, dude, I'm going to kill you. And so he runs for his life. Jacob leaves the house. Jacob has to leave the town they're living in. He has to go and live where his uncle's at. He goes to the land. His uncle's at. He goes to his ranch, to his farm there. It says he walks on the farm like, man, I need a place to live. My brother's going to kill me. I got to stay here. And he looks out and he sees Rachel. Wow, wow, wow. Ow. You know, he's out there. He sees Rachel. Cue up Marvin Gaye. He's like, wow, this may be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And he goes, hey, Uncle, I want to marry her. What, man, can I please marry your daughter? He goes, sure, yeah, you can marry her. But first of all, I need you to work for me for 7 years. Now, the Bible says that Rachel was a very beautiful woman. Very. You translate that out, it actually translates to more like she was really easy on the eyes. And the Bible doesn't describe many people that way, if anybody else. It just says she was a very attractive woman. So much that he's like, yeah, sign me up. 7 years, it's worth it. I mean, he's going to work 7 years to win Rachel's hand in marriage. So he spends 7 years focused on what he wants. He works off 7 years. Finally, the day of the wedding comes. She comes out, and she's covered from head to toe according to tradition. And he's like, hurry up, preacher, get this wedding over with. You know, come on. I do. She does. Come on. Let's hurry up. I mean, what's the hurry? He's only waited 7 years for her to be his wife. So he's in this big hurry. They go and have their first night together. And the next morning he wakes up and goes, hey, I think I'll take your veil off. You know, that's how big of a hurry he was in. Finally, the next day, he takes the veil off to realize, I didn't marry Rachel. I was tricked. I married her sister, Leah. Everybody say, Leah. Wah, 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 wah. Leah. He goes to the uncle, hey, dude, why did you trick me? Why'd you give me Leah? You know I was working for Rachel. He goes, well, according to custom, Rachel can't get married until Leah, the older sister, gets married first. So you had to marry her first. Okay, all right, I married her, but now can I marry Rachel? Yeah, but you got to work 7 more years. So he says you got to work 7 more years to get Rachel's hand in marriage. And we all are like, dude, he's like, all right, I'll do it. And think about this today, because this tragedy is not on Jacob. The real victim of the story is not Jacob. The real victim of the story is not Rachel. The real victim of the story is Leah. Leah was forced to marry a man who didn't love her. She was forced to marry a man who didn't want her. She was forced to marry a man who didn't work for her. She was forced to marry a man who was in love with her sister. Can you imagine that? I'm married to you, Leah, but I'm working for 7 years to win the hand of your sister. So his whole time, instead of having to focus on their marriage, he had his eyes on marrying her sister. And so we see the frustration begin to build up here. We see the loneliness and the frustration of her heart. And she's like, all right, if I just give Jacob a son, which was the highest honor in that day they could do, if I could just give him a son, then he'll fall in love with me and we'll live happily ever after. So look at the names of these sons. The first son she has, Leah and Jacob's son, she names him Reuben, which means translate see me. Now, ladies, let's be honest here. You're not very good at hiding your emotions, right? Guys, we're horrible at sharing our emotions. Ladies, you overshare way too much, okay? Somewhere in the middle, we need to be, right? But we see the frustration coming out of Leah's life. She has a son, and she names him Reuben, like, see me. I'm giving you a son. See me. Can I get your attention over here? That doesn't work, so she gives him another son. Look what she names him. Simeon. And his name translates to, hear me. Are you following the pattern here? Yo, Jacob, see me. Hear me. Can I get your attention? That doesn't work, so she gives him another son. Surely, three sons will change him. And she named him Levi, which means join me. Are you seeing the desperation of her heart? Are you seeing the frustration? Are you seeing the disappointment? See me. Hear me. Come on, join me. Let's be a family. You got your eyes on Rachel, and you don't even see me. You don't even notice me. You don't even really want me. Join me. So we see all this happening. But then there's something that begins to change in Leah's spirit. Because we see she gives him a fourth son. This is what she names a fourth son. She names him Judah, which means praise. Are you seeing the difference in her attitude? Are you seeing the difference in her spirit? See me, hear me, join me. All right, none of that's working. Then God, my eyes are upon you. God, I'm going to give you a praise no matter what. Even though I'm in this marriage I don't like, even though I'm stuck here without any attention, even though nobody else hears me, God, I'm allowing a praise to come forth out of my sorrow, out of my pain, out of my trial, out of my trouble, out of my disappointment, out of my rejection. A song of praise is coming forth. You see, there's something happens when that breakthrough happens in our life. Something changes in the atmosphere. Something changes in our spirit. When we let Judah come forth, when we let a praise come forth, something happens in our spirit. Something begins to change. See, out of our biggest pain, out of our disappointment, God wants to give you a voice of praise. Out of my pain, a new sound of praise wants to come forth. Out of your hurt, praise can come out. Out of the rejection, praise can come. And this story doesn't end bad. It's not a tragic story. As much as we look at it and go, oh man, Lifetime would love this movie. I'm telling you, it's not a tragic story ending. I'm going to tell you the ending of the story. Because Judah was the lineage that produced King David. And King David was the lineage that produced the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. You see, out of our pain, out of our disappointment, when we let Judah, when we let praise come, the Savior also follows that. Oh, you follow me today? You are not alone. You are not alone when you change your sound and say, God, I'm going to let a praise come anyway. I'm going to let a voice of praise come through my sorrow. I'm going to let a voice of praise come through my disappointment. I'm going to let a voice of praise come out of my trial. I'm going to let a voice of praise come out. Something changes in the atmosphere and Jesus shows up. I'm telling you, your sound can change things. Come on, give God a hand clap. I'm changing my sound. I'm changing my voice. I'm changing my sound. I'm changing my voice. Out of that, God changes me. Healing comes. Joy comes. Strength comes. Psalms 114, verses 1 and 2. Look what it says. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, when the family of Jacob left that foreign land, the land of what? Judah. What's Judah mean? Come on, let's say it again. Judah means what? We just read that. Judah means praise. So out of the land of praise became God's sanctuary. And Israel became his kingdom. Now we see in scripture where Israel is symbolic. It becomes symbolic of the church of Jesus. Okay, the church. We are, if you're a Bible-believing church, if you're a Bible-believing Christian today, if you believe that the Bible is the foundation of God's Word, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He gave His life on the cross for our sins, if you believe that, then we all belong to the kingdom of God. This is what it's saying. So let's translate it. Now pull into me here close. Listen to what I'm telling you here. Get this revelation. Israel became His kingdom. That means if we're a Christian, we're all a part of the kingdom of God. But look at this. But Judah, praise, became where God's sanctuary is. I just don't want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be in the sanctuary. I want to be where God's presence is. I want to be where God's hanging out. I want to be where God's hanging out. Why? Because when God's there, things change. When God's presence is there, healing is taking place. Miracles are happening. The miraculous is happening. It happens where God is at. And it says God, He hangs out in the praises of His people. Look at this last scripture right here. Psalms 22:3. You are holy, God, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Meaning what? That God enthrones, God sets, God inhabits, God is present in the praises of His people. God is there in the praises of His people. God is there when the sound of praise comes. God is there when the sound of praise comes. God inhabits. When the sound of praise comes, God is moving. When God is, listen, God is here in the sound of praise. We can't afford not to. God, I want my sound to change. Why? Because I want to be in Your presence. God, I want my life to change in Your presence. I want you to stand on your feet today. If you want God to change your sound, I want you to give Him a hand clap right now. God, change my sound. God, change my heart. God, change me right now. As you look at me today, the most important sound of praise, the most important sound you can ever make is a sound to say, you know what? Jesus Christ, I believe You are the Messiah. I confess You as Lord of my life. I want you just to bow your heads as you're standing there. Everybody bowing your heads. Nobody looking at me. I'm going to ask you today, have you ever made the most important sound? It's a sound of the prayer. Saying, God, I believe You are the Messiah. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. If you've never prayed that prayer before, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you or put a spotlight on you, I promise. But we want to make sure you have a chance to change your sound today. And it starts right here. With a prayer saying, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Without anybody else looking but me, can you just simply raise your hand and say, it's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. I see that. Anybody else say, today I'm ready. Thank you. I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One last time, if you haven't raised it, raise it right now. That's me. I'm ready. Make sure you have that chance today. Okay, this is what we're going to do. For those of you who raised your hands this morning, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you, we're going to help you say it out loud as well. Say, dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess You as Lord of my life. I believe You are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for You. I will follow after You all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, say, welcome to the family of God. Come on. This is why we're here today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please stop by our hub back here in my far left. We have a free Bible as our special thanks to you for making that prayer a part of your life today. In that, we got some information we want to give you. How many today say, Pastor, man, you are speaking right to me. God's telling me it's time to change the sound of my life. God's telling me to change this. Come on, raise your hand. That's me. God's telling me it's time to change the sound of my life. Yeah, come on. We're going there. Come on, Destiny. I want God to change the sound of our church. I want God to change the sound of our praise. I want God to change the sound of our worship. I want God to change the sound of our heart. I want God to change the sound of my life. I want God to change the sound of your life. Come on, let's declare it. Come on, let's declare His goodness today. Let's worship Him as we declare His goodness. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise this morning. Can I invite you to lift your hands? I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is speaking to us fresh and new today. God, I pray right now that God, out of our pain, out of our disappointment, that you allow a song of Judah, a song of praise to rise up. That God, you allow us to begin to speak something new, to sing something new, preparing to change our sound. God, may we change what's coming in, and may we change what we're singing about. May we change what we're declaring. May we change, God, right now. We declare right now, in the name of Jesus, our atmosphere is changing. We declare right now, our home is changing. Our marriage is changing. Our children are changing. We declare right now, my job is changing. Come on, declare right now, my health is changing. I declare right now, my sorrow is changing. My grieving is changing. My disappointment is changing. My focus is changing. My pride is changing. Father, right now, we declare that God, you are changing. And God, right now, may we position ourselves every time we have a chance. May we humble ourselves. May we seek beyond just singing songs. May we seek beyond just singing something we like. And may we say, God, we want to be in your presence. God, we want to sit at your feet. God, we want to be where you're at, Dad. We want to hang with you, Dad. God, we want to hear from the Holy Spirit. Change our sound in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, put your hands together. Give him a shout of praise one more time. Come on, I can't hear you. Give him a shout of praise. All right. Next week, don't miss part three. Yeah, we're going to have a good time, man, as God continues to build this revelation and unfolds it for us. We love you. Turn to give someone a high five and say, man, it was good to be with you today. I'll see you in a DC small group.